Rishus HaRabbanim. Rabbi Silverman for a very long time. Our learning relationship goes back many years. Rabbi Eisenstein and Rabbi Bednarsh, you have come to no doubt see both the depth of their learning and of their Eitza over the months and years you've been here. It's an opportunity for me to express Hakaras HaTov. They were each at different points there for very critical decisions that, in retrospect, were even more significant than I appreciated at the time. I want to dedicate the shiur Le'ili Nishma of Zum Chalap, whose loss is very, very fresh. Levi will be starting a couple of hours in YU in America and then coming here to Eretz Yisrael. We're about to learn brachas. Yeshiva is learning brachas this year, the final year of Rav Chalap's life. I was struck by the fact that the last year of Rav Chalap's active leadership in the yeshiva, Tavshin Samaches, was the last year, the last time the yeshiva learned Maseches Brachas. And there'll be some opportunities over the days and weeks to come to hear about, to speak about, to learn about Rav Chalap's model on so many levels. And with that, let's turn our attention to Ketzim Mevarchin. I'm excited to have the opportunity to learn about him a little bit. Perek Ketzim Mevarchin is a very, very fascinating perek. Even when you begin the perek, Tosis points out that the opening perek of the Masechta is very upfront about thinking about sources and thinking about where things begin and thinking about the relation of Torah Shulach Sav and Torah Shulach Peh. Why wants to know right away in the opening parak, Tana Hechako, you talk about Kriya Shema, where's the source? Is the source in the Chumash? The Tosafot points out that the Ketzim Mevarchin doesn't start expressly in that way, but at the same time, one is struck immediately by the remarkably methodical, almost anomalously methodical way in which the parak opens. Parak opens right away with what's the Makar? The Bavli opens right away with what's the Makar of Brachas? And lays out a long shaklavataria that not only leaves us with it's a maskana that it's rooted in svara, asher lehanas v'ol mazeh b'li bracha. Even the hava mina of the shaklavataria is striking. Not only the fact that Gemara had a hava mina brachas ar-daraisa and rooted in psukim, and one of the cases the Torah says something is mutzah to eat, something is asher, arla is asher to eat for 3 years. When it becomes mutzah in the fourth year, the Torah, the Gemara initially had thought, as the Torah's Kohanim does, that you see a source there, you can eat it, and you got to make a bracha. It's also striking that over the course of the Shaklavataria, the Gemara talks a lot about different models within Mitzvot HaTluyos Ba'aretz. And the Gemara talks about different categories of foods that come up in the context of Mitzvot HaTluyos Ba'aretz. Orla applies to Peiros Ilan, Revai perhaps applies to Peiros Ilan, or perhaps applies to specifically to Yayin, and it gets you wondering whether there's an element of the Hava Mina that lasts Lamaskana. The degree of Chiyav is not the rice, it's not ruined these Tzukim, but just as an example, just to get the juices flowing. And one of the things that's striking about the Mishnah, we're about to dive in from a different angle, primarily, but one thing that's striking about the Mishnah opens the discussion of Birkas Hananin specifically with the idea of period for brachas. The fact that not only do you say a bracha before you eat, but there are particular categories that call for particularly specific brachas, a ha'etz, a hadama, or it could be even a subset of ha'etzes, and that's the way the Mishnah very expressly structures it, a subset, nested subset of ha'etzes, but Pragefin, that's a subset of Hadama, is a Motzilachim in Arda. It's stressed right away on the categories and the subcategories. As you saw, Rabbi Yehuda wants even more categories, so the Gemara later says that this is the Grand Daf Mem, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, that brachas work with this value to be Mefarad brachas. We know that's true, Bidam Lachavero as well. You know, giving the pre-printed Hallmark card is a very, very poor substitute for actually writing something personalized. And a generic thank you may be better than nothing, but obviously pales compared to actually specifies thank you for this and here's how it impacted me. What's true b'nam l'chaveru is apparently true b'nam l'makam also. They're supposed to be mefaret abrachas and not just a generic shahakal for everything. We'll come back to that mitzvah din soon. It is striking, though, when do we have pure b'brachas and when don't we? It's one of these dinim that, because we're so used to it, sort of take it for granted that the halo davarhu. In many areas of halacha, we see basar as a food that has particular chashivas. And all of a sudden in brachas, basar is the bottom of the barrel. A grapefruit gets this bracha, and a tomato gets that bracha, and we can handle about papaya and strawberry. But meat and fish and cheese, it's all just shahakal. Really? We're getting more excited about cherries and papayas than about an Angus steak? Hello, Davarhu. Why is it nope? All the period for brachas happens within the world of Gidulei Karka, which the Mishnah says explicitly later in the parak. It's an interesting phenomenon. It could be that part of the enduring part of the Havamina and Daf Lamed Hey is that perhaps the Kol Tikkun Rabbanan Kein D'Oraisa Tikkun. Chazal, the Geter Achiyuv is a Drabbanan, but when Chazal said about crafting Birkas Hananin, the categories that they were, the D'Oraisa categories that they were borrowing from were Mitzvot Tluyos Baretz. When you think about it, each of the categories corresponds to some element or another of Mitzvot Tluyos Baretz. Peres Ilan is Arlo. And Yayin is perhaps Revai, certainly Peret and Olos, right? And more broadly, Gidulei Karka, Hadama, certainly Shemitah and Yovel, apply Minat Torah to all Gidulei Karka. And Lechem is, as the Gemara says, Mitzad Adin, the category of Lechem also comes up in the context of Fresh Eschala. Dagon in general corresponds to Chadash. So it seems like Chazal chose to use, to base brachos, the Takan Drabbanan, Birkas Hananin, on the categories of Zeruim, which gets you thinking that maybe it adds a layer to why Yehuda Anasi chose to put Maseches brachos in Zeruim. Kriyat Shema Tefillah you got to think about, but the Ketzim of Aruchin is absolutely belongs. It's a Drabbanan extension of the world of Zeruim. It could even be on the level of Taima Dekra that the Tosfos says in Masechta Shabbos and I think it's Daf Lamed Aleph and the Gemara talks about the six Sedarim and the Gemara relates it to the pasuk I think in Yeshayahu and Munas Yitecha Chos and Yeshuas, a pasuk that I believe Rabbi Harlap would from time to time darshan about. So Tosfos poor talks of course Yerushalmi. Well, what does Emunah have to do with Zeruim? In farming, there's a particular expression, it's a particular workshop for emuna. Sefer Chinuch family talks about many of the mitzvahs of Zeruim, mitzvah tluyos ba'aretz, as being expressions of, it's a way of breaking that sense of kochi v'otzem yadi, dafka the bikurim, and dafka the reishis, and I remind myself, I worked so hard, but efforts are me, but results are Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the interplay of Hishtadlus and Bitachon. When the results finally come through, I remind myself, I had to work for it, but it came from Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why I give Truma, and that's why I have Bikurim v'chula, 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 v'chula. And I express that b'maase through the mitzvahs of Zeruim. I express that b'dibur machshava through Birkas Hananin in particular, which is exactly what the Gemara's maskana is. But I work, but it's all the Rebbe Shlom's. And once you're on the level of Taim and Dekra, so then Kriyat Shema and Tefillah fit in beautifully to Zeruim as well. Because Kriyat Shema and Tefillah are, in many senses, the ultimate verbal expression of Ikari Emunah, the ultimate verbal expression of recognizing the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and always recognizing that we live in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. So it's an incredibly rich and foundational start to the whole in the whole parak, both mitzad adin and mitzad machshava as well. And with that, I'd love to turn attention particularly to one of the major threads that runs through the parak, or maybe two of the major threads that intertwine. Over the course of the first half of the parak, I think it's fair to say that you think about the structure of the perek beyond this point, there is a striking amount of case law. It's sort of like Chesed Zabatim, but not. You know, get case after case after case. What's this? What's the din of this food? What's the din of Shasisa? And what's the din of Shemen Zayas? And a lot of the first half of the perek, in particular, as you've seen, is organized around cases. So what ends up happening, I think, is that whenever you try to learn an inyan, so you have to thread together all the cases that relate to that topic. I think one way of organizing it, I think it's safe to say that beyond the yisod of brachas that comes up over the course of Lama Hamid Alf and part of Lama Hamid Beis, there are, I think, four major themes that come and return over the course of the course of the first half of the parak. There's the question of Ochel Shenishtana, there's the question of Chelkei HaPri, and the question of Machalei Dagan, and there's the question of Ikar and Tafel. And already in the opening, the first specific sugi of Shemen Zayas, most if not all those already appear, and they're sort of intertwined there, and then they're going to come up again and again over the next four or five blot. Many of these come in the second half of the parak also. Second half of the parak, as maybe you've seen already, raises other issues also, like Kidim and Brachas. I think the first half of the parak really is beyond the Yisod of Brachas, those four issues, Ochel Shenishtana, Chelkei HaPri, Machalei Dagan, and Ikar and Tafel. There is a lot to say about Ikar and Tafel. I'd like to say a little bit about Ikar and Tafel in the time that we have. I'm going to hold back from really focusing. Ikar and Tafel shows up in fascinating ways in Shemen Zayas already. There is an interesting Machlokas Rishonim that I don't want to focus on. The Gemara says that, as you saw, that a Negron, that when you have your borscht or whatever type of vegetable, your V8 perhaps, you can have just straight broccoli soup or you can have cream of broccoli soup. Apparently, it's Kupas Chazal, the way they make cream of broccoli soup is by adding olive oil. So if you want to have a creamier soup and you add the oil, you want to have a creamier V8 and you add oil. So that's what the Gemara says, that the shemen, a nigron with shemen added. So you have to figure out, is the nigron the ikar, is the shemen the ikar? The Gemara talks about refuah. Normally the nigron, the vegetable element, is the ikar and the olive oil is tafel, and therefore the fact that theoretically shemen zayis is ate normally wouldn't express itself because it's tafel anyhow. But if it's refuah, so then the shemen is the ikar, and that's an afkamina. We say, oh, I have that nigron with shemen added, and then now it's because it's l'refuah, shemen is the ikar. Oh, so what's a bracham shemen? And here's the case we finally found at Seir, where we care about the bracham shemen, and you should know, as the Gemara quotes from first generation Amoraim, both in Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, Yochanan and Shmuel both said, shemen zayis is ha'etz. So just started to get the juices flowing, and it speaks to one of the key issues in Ikar Tafel. Then we'll get to a very fascinating discussion in the Chachmei Ashkenaz. There is an interesting machlokes shown here. The Tur has, it's in Reish Beis, it already appears in Tosfos Ben Yehuda. And that is, what do you mean, l'refuah? Do you actually care about the teleology? Do you actually care about what it is you're trying to do? Do we care whether you're sick or not? Or is it just a description, it seems like, of a recipe? When you're six, you have a lot of oil because you want it for your throat. And normally, if it's just for taste, you just add a little bit of oil. So that's the Rabbeinu Yehuda already quotes it, and the Tur quotes as well, that Rabbeinu Yosef was of the opinion that it's just a question of a recipe. Is there a lot of oil, a little oil? Usually, you only put in a lot of oil when you're sick, but you don't really care whether your throat hurts or not. But the Bahag and the Rambam and others are of the opinion that it actually matters whether you're sick or not. It's a question of purpose. The Rashbi even quotes from Haigon, not only has to be sick, but you have to be sick and it's Shabbos, and that's why Davka, you're having the oil in the Anigur instead of taking it straight because from the Hilfa Shabbos perspective. It's an interesting machlokas to think about. Like, what is the argument? Why would Rabbi Yosef say that's all about just the quantity? The Bahag would say, the Rambam would say that it's actually about purpose. So it does, at the very least, open one of the main issues in Ikron Tafel. As you know, Ikron Tafel array comes up in Mishnayos at the very end of the Masechta, that it comes up numerous times in the first half of the Masechta, in addition to coming up Mendal and Memalef, you have it Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin and Lamed Tes, Gemara again and again and again in this case law, talks about Ikron Tafel. And the Ritva points out one of the themes that comes up from looking at that series of Gemaras is that there are something that I think Sefer Acharon developed, or Eshek develops, and some of the Chuvas in Bishlakim, that there are two types of Ikar and Tafel. There's a fundamental Ikar and Tafel, and then there's sort of a lower level, just quantitative Ikar and Tafel. That the classic Ikar and Tafel is when, as the Mishnah gives example later, when one food is really servicing the other. Whether I'm eating, I just want the crackers so my fingers don't get messy from the herring, or I'm having milk with the cereal to enhance the cereal. That's a more fundamental type of Ikar and Tafel. And that's an Ikar and Tafel. The Gemara seems to say that that will be in force even if the Tafel is Chameshas Mini Dagan, because that's a true Ikar and Tafel. As opposed to where there is no real functional Ikar and Tafel relationship. I have a fruit salad with a bunch of diced fruits, and some of the fruits are Eitz, or some of the fruits are Hadama. They're fundamentally peers, functionally. So then, sort of the lower level type of Ikar and Tafel is look at quantity, look at Rove and Mute. And that's where the Gemara says, that's a lower level Ikar and Tafel. If it's merely a question of quantity, so that's what the Gemara says on Lamed Tes by the Tavshila de Silka. The Gemara says, you put the Gemaras together. If it's just a question of quantity, then I don't care. Then if it's just a question of quantity, then Mizonos won't become a Tafel. Mizonos won't become a Dagan, I should say, won't become a Tafel merely because it's a Mi'at. But Mizonos will become a Tafel if it's a true Tafel, if it's functionally a Tafel. Like the Mishnah says, a pas could be a Tafel to the food that it's servicing. So it's an important idea to keep in mind as you explore Ikar and Tafel, those two levels of Ikar and Tafel, and as you explore Machalei Dagan. And I would just point out that it's probably part of what's driving this discussion we've shown by Nigron as well. In other words, the beginning of the discussion is that Rabbeinu Yosef is looking at it as a matter of quantity. He's saying, oh, refuah is just an example of how much, I don't know, mamish rov, but if it's a lot of oil, so then it becomes a nicker. If it's a little bit of oil, then it's a tafel, which may be a purely a quantitative issue, whereas the other Rishonim are really looking at a question of function. But I'd love to look in particular at what to my mind is an unusually fascinating discussion Rishonim have, borderline Ikar and Tafel conversation that I think really brings out a lot about Ikar and Tafel, and maybe if we have time about a larger theme of Birksanen in particular. And that is, I was excited to discover recently, but it's always good to know. Sometimes you're excited, you're mechavin to kasha or teretz of earlier sefer, and sometimes you just discovered you're mechavin to the taste of an earlier sefer. So Leib Malin is like one of the premier lamdanim of early 20th century. A lot of fascinating stories about him as well. Time doesn't allow us now for his the pre-Shanghai story with Leib Malin. You have two volumes of Leib Malin al Hashas. It's intriguing that the first piece is about this Trumas Hadashim. He starts with Brachas briefly before he gets to Adam Sechtas, and he opens with the following Trumas Hadashim that was in the, I don't know who had a chance to see the Marmor Kavos, not see Marmor Kavos, I'm sorry, I put them out with not so much advance notice. But in Simon Reshid Beis, which is a relatively short Simon, the Torah and Shulchan Aruch lay out the basic ideas of Ikar and Tafel from the Mishnah, Daf Mem Dalet, and so forth. The Beis Yosef quotes the following question. What do you do? He quotes from the Trumas Hadashim on the late Chachmei Ashkenaz. Let's say I'm going to have the tuffel before the ikker. I make a bracha on the ikker, and I make a bracha on the tuffel. Usually I either have the ikker and tuffel together, cereal and milk, or the kiwi and strawberry in the salad, or sometimes I have the tuffel afterwards. Different ways that we show them read that Mishnah Mem Daled. Could be that my mouth is on fire, so now I have to have a piece of bread to put the fire out from the salty or sharp food that I have. But how about if I have the tuffel before the ikra? That's what Shmuel Sadeshin tries to figure out. Says you're going to have a glass of wine, but you can't have the glass of wine straight, so you have to eat something first to be mamtik the shtia. Can I figure out exactly what he means? Does it mean you're cleansing your palate? And does he mean you're setting your palate up to more fully appreciate the high notes of black currants or whatever it is? Or does he mean at one point it sounds like this means it's not a good idea to drink wine on an empty stomach? Whatever it is, you're eating something in it, and some Nachron do get very involved in that, they appreciate others. But big adult, so I'm going to eat something in advance, just for purpose of simplicity. Let's imagine you're having a piece of bread. You ate whatever you ate before, and now you want to fully appreciate the wine, so you can eat a piece of bread to cleanse your palate. The bread is clearly a high-level tuffel. This is mamash, a functional tuffel. I'm only eating the bread because I want to more fully appreciate the wine. I don't want the wine to mazik me. So what should the din be? Interesting machlokas, the Trumas Hadeshen, quoted by the Beis Yosef, and then the Beis Yosef himself. And then the Magen Avraham gets in and points that there may be other layers here also. So Trumas Hadeshen says, Tradition has a havamina and a maskana. It says havamina is you shouldn't make any brach on the bread at all. It's tuffel. That's a din. You have ikker and tuffel, you don't make a tuffel on the bread, right? If you ate a jalapeno pepper and then after you had a piece of bread to calm your tongue down, you wouldn't make a hamotzi or any brach on the bread. It's tuffel to the pepper. You made a brach on the pepper, whatever brach you make on jalapeno pepper, and then no brach at all on the bread. So that's the havamina. You're having bread, and then you're having wine. You're going to make a bracha again from the wine. That's the ikar. You don't make any bracha whatsoever on the top. But then he says, How could that be? No. He says, you're not going to make any bracha at all. That's hard to... it's hard to imagine. I apologize. It's hard to imagine. He says, no, he found the marachar zarua. One of the earlier chachmei Ashkenaz, Trumas Deshen, right? You make a shahakal. Machar's rule also talks about such a situation that a fellow is going to have a drink, and before the drink he has good gedanios. He's trying to figure out what exactly his good gedanios are in medieval rabbinic Hebrew. I think they're cherries, I'm not sure. Maybe some sort of fruit. Good berry, fruit, some berry. You have your good gedanios in advance of the drink. L'matekes hashtia. So Machar's rule says, you make a shahako. Before the good gedanios would be ha'etz normally. That's how Marachar Zura starts. Good gedanios in the pit. It should be ha'etz, even if you have the seeds. Oh, if you're just having them as a prelude to the drink to follow, you make a shahakal on the good gedanios. Then once you make a shahakal, presumably you have to make another shahakal on your orange juice or beer or whatever it is you're drinking later. Okay. That's the truth. That says, I found Marachar Zura. So again, how many possibilities do we have so far? Tafel hakodem l'ikr. I'm eating the tafel before the ikr. So the Trumas Hadeshen's havamin is no bracha on the tafel at all. It's a tafel. And then he says, no bracha. Make a shahakal. You don't make the bracha of that the tafel food ought to be. You make a shahakal. Okay. And then Beis Yosef says, that's a Trumas Hadeshen. Chachmei Ashkenaz, I disagree. And he says, this is all absurd. He says, what do you mean? I understand. You made a bracha on the ikar, so that covers the tuffel. You haven't made any bracha on the ikar yet. The arrow of time points in one direction. If you're eating the tuffel before the ikar, so it would be nice. It says, that's what Beis Yosef says. He says, I reject this whole idea. He says, if you're having a piece of bread to cleanse your palate for the wine, you should make hamotzi on the bread. He says, what type of idea is this? If you had the wine and then the bread, okay. So you already made a bar pregef and it'll cover, it'll potter both the wine and the bread. But if you haven't made the hagefen yet, so there's nothing to talk about. And the Darkei Moshe, Ramana Darkei Moshe goes back and says, no. Beis Yosef, you got it all wrong, defends the Chachmei Ashkenaz, and says, no, it's a tafel. It's a tafel, it's different. It's not the same. Even if it's beforehand, it's still a tafel. So what's going on? So, first let's think about Shurim Zadashim, and then let's think about the Beis Yosef a little bit. The Shurim Zadashim is fascinating. He initially thinks that Tafel HaKodim Iker, no bracha at all on the Tafel. You make a bracha on the Iker like you always do, and you will not make a bracha on the Tafel like you always don't. And then what did he say? He said, no, it can't be. You have to make a bracha. And the bracha is shahaka. So what's the source? Maracha or Zarua. That you make shahaka on the cherries, the good gedanis you're having before you drink. We're struck right away. Shahaka mandachar shmei. You're having a piece of bread. So it's when you make a shahaka on bread. You want to make hamotz on bread? Make hamotz on bread. You don't want to make any bracha on bread? Don't make any bracha on bread. But how does the shahaka work? So l'chora, the Shurim Zadashim probably fits into a long line of Rishonim who, in different scenarios, and I think Yerubei may have already touched on this to a greater or lesser extent, the long line of Rishonim who, in different scenarios, invoke shahakal on a food that is really a ha'etz, that's gedulei karka, really ought to be something else. There are probably, Rav Shechter put some of these together in Bikvetzon Simen Vav. There are probably five or six or seven different examples. Differently shown in Tova in different cases. The simplest might be, go back to Anigron, where we began. There's a lot going on in Anigron that we didn't even touch on. But one of the moving parts, and one of the many chidushim of the Rambam, is that when he says, Rambam seems to say, and the Rambam says this as well, well, it was said, the Gemara says sometimes a nigron is ikar, sometimes a shemen is ikar. So in the Gemara, you're all focused on looking for the shemen being the ikar. But let's say the anigron is the ikar. So the Rambam subtly slips in, and the Ramah does as well in Simon Reish Beis, I think it is. If the shemen is the ikar, okay, that's the bar parades on shemen we're looking for. And if the anigron is the ikar, this fruit, this vegetable, Michael, so then you make a shahakal. Shahakal. Hadama, Mai the Silka, that's the Gemara and Daklama test. Vegetable soup is Hadama. A Negro come to be a Shahako. So Magen Avraham there gets excited. He says, I spoke about this later in Simon Reish. Hey, the Gra right on location dives in. That there are a number of Rishonim. Tosis says it twice on Daklama test and Aleph, and seems to maybe point towards it on Daf Lametes Amud Aleph as well, on the Mordechai, I think it's Kuf Chaf Hei, have this idea that maybe drinks, beverages, are always a shahaka. That's what Tosa says. Tosa and Lametes is trying to figure out why you make a shahaka on beer, why if beer is, in medieval Europe, beer was already grain-based and not fruit-based, the way it was with Kuvas Chazal. It's an interesting In Sheikh Arakim of Avodah Zarah, they actually, the Rush references the British Baliatosis as having a lot to say, Eretz Ha'i, they had a lot to say about the halachas of beer, came up. That's an old British minhag. So Baliatos trying to figure out, so why are you making a shahakal on beer, why are you making a mezonos? Chameshes minei dagam. So one of the answers Tosis gives is, drinks are always shahaka. Drinks are always shahaka. Hello, Dover. Even though it ought to be, and that's what the Gra says, this anigra, that's what the Magen Avraham says later, this anigra, the Rishon who says shahaka, must think that this isn't a vegetable soup, it's not cream of broccoli, it's V8, it's a beverage, it's a drink. So if it's a drink, then it's automatically shahaka. Meaning the whole idea of pirut bebrachas, all those variations, that's only by foods, but by drinks, with the one exception of Bar Priya Geffen, drinks are Mag Shahakal, that's where Shefta points out the Tosis earlier, David Beis Rebekidere talks about, it seems to say that if you made a Bar Priya Eitz by accident on wine, you would not be Yotzei. How could it be? Mishnah seems to say that Bar Priya Geffen is a subset of Eitz. Now the answer is, that the whole idea of period for brachas, that whole apparatus is only pointed to shown by ochel. So that's number one. This magical shahakal comes up for these rishis, these baitosis and Mordechai and the Rambam, maybe by mashke. Number two is mazik in sugya by nigron. The Rambam thinks because it's mazik, not that it's no bracha, because it's mazik, say shahakal. Either it has a bracha and bracha zaitz, or it's no bracha. There's a Tosis later, Daf Mem Gimel, who thinks that if you're not sure what bracha to make on a smell, you make a shahakal. Tosis floats that possibility. It's interesting. Number four is the Simur Reishches, the Kor Ben Yona says, that as machlokes rishonim, if you have a chatzi shir, less than kazayis of food, so we know that you don't make a bracha achrona. We paskin that the bracha rishona is the same. But Rabbeinu Yonah says chatzi shir of bracha of food. Not only there's no bracha achrona, there's no bracha mufuretas rishona either. It's shahakal. Number five, and Simur Reish Dalid. Also, this goes back to the Nigron Sugya, refuah. What bracha do you make on medication? So Tosfos says, and the Torah quotes it as the sheet of the Rishi, that normally, unless it's water, you make a regular bracha, something that you enjoy. You enjoy eating whatever it is, you make a regular bracha. On the other hand, Tosfos quotes Rama, who says, there's no bracha whatsoever in refuah. And then there's this middle position. Tosfos quotes it from the Ra'ah in his Pekudas Harviyim. It's founded also in Rabbeinu Manoach on the bottom of the Rambam Gimel. On refuah you make a shahakal. It has a bracha, but not the bracha mufaretas. Again and again. Shechter and Bikratzon develops this in terms of achila, different types of achila shelo kedarka. You make a bracha, but shahakal. So again, just to reiterate that list, mashke might be bracha, but not bracha mufaret. Shahakal. Mazik, according to Rambam. Stam besam, according to one day in Tosfos. Chatzi shir, according to Ben Yona. Refuah, according to the middle position. The Ra'ar, Ben Manoach. And Shalol Kedarka, perhaps. So what all these have in common, this is where Shechter drives it towards, is that there are two levels to the Takana of Birk Sanani. And I believe that it's a ritva on the bottom of Lamed Hayim and Al. The Gemara already is interesting. The Gemara says, the Gemara starts up again after the Shach of Ataria, Aslam Shem Al Mazeb Lo Bracha, it's Mi'ila, my Takante, go to a Chacham. What's the Chacham going to do? He'll teach how to say brachas properly. So the ritva says, meaning, you don't, if you said even a shahakal, the Mishnah says later you say shahakal yotze b'di'eved. So the Ritva and Lamed Hay explains something very important. If you said a shahakal, you already got yourself out of me'ila. But you haven't fulfilled the full takana of brachas. The full takana of brachas is to say the right bracha, instead of the bracha mufaretas. Meaning, there are two levels to the takana of brachas. Number one, Chazal Masakim Midrabanan, it's aser. Believe, brother, there's an iser that the bracha is matir. It's mi'ila, you're stealing from everything in Ribbono Shel Olam, and the way to matir that iser is to say a bracha. But for that, any bracha suffices, even just shahakal. You say a shahakal, you already got yourself out of the iser. But if you want to not just get out of the iser, but be mikayim, the mitzvah of brachas, then you have to say bracha mufaretas. That's the right way to say a thank you. So there are two levels to the takana, chadal masakin and iser. And the heter is say some bracha, any bracha. They're also masakin of a higher kiyum of a bracha mefuretas. So what you're seeing in these six cases or so, and we'll come to a seventh in a moment, is all these borderline cases, it's not a full regular achila. It's not a full regular hana. So the iser is still in play. You got to be matur the iser. But Chazal weren't masakin the second layer of the kiyum of saying a bracha mufaretas. You just have to matir the iser. So that's what Tosfos says about mashke. That's what the Rambam says about mazik. That's what Ben Yonah says about chatzi shir, the perfect example. Again, that gets into the chatzi shir. It's not a full ma'isachila. It's shlok kedarka, perhaps, refuah. You're beating them a little bit, but it's not a really normal ma'isachila. So in all these, it's not a full hana. So all these cases, the salmon, not a chila, but there is there's sort of a base level of you got not to the Isser. So all these cases, because it's not a full achila, it's not a full hadar, however you're going to think about it, so the Isser still applies, but the second layer of the chiyuv, the mitzvah, doesn't apply. And that's why in all these cases, you got to make a bracha. You don't have to make the right bracha. You don't have to have bracha mufaretes. You just have to make a shahakal. Shahakal is the generic bracha. And that's why midirab bidyevet, maybe you want that to be number 7. The Mishnah says later, bidyevet, you say shahakal yotze, because, you at least avoided the yisur of me'ila. You're mat to the yisur of me'ila, although you didn't get the mitzvah, at least not fully, unless it's a bracha mufaretes. And then finally, here number 7, is a trumas hadashen. Trumas hadashen says, you know, it's another example of a borderline semi-achila, where there is still an isser that he needs a heter, but there's no full takana of the mitzvah of bracha mufaretes. Tafel is a quasi-achila. That's why he said, initially he thought, tafel doesn't eat anything. I mean, normally tafel doesn't eat anything. That's what the Mishnah says in Mandal. Yeah, you eat however you understand the parents can always eat the sweet fruit, the salty, whatever's going on there, and because of something that was very sweet or very salty, now you have to eat the bread to save yourself. So you're not going to make a bracha on the bread because the bread is a tafel to what came before. You're not going to make a bracha on the milk because you made bracha on the cereal. Normally, when you have a tafel, you don't make any bracha. Oh, it doesn't really come up because you're covered by the Birkas HaIker. But now what happens if you sort of extract the tafel in the laboratory and you got the tafel before the ikker, it's just dangling there, I'm eating the bread before I even drink the wine, so now I've sort of isolated just the tafel alone. Now what? So transition said, I would have had a havamina, it doesn't count, it's only tafel, it's so low level that there's no bracha at all. But then he said, no, can't make no bracha, and that's the way he seems to be going, and that's what the R.K. Moshe, when he defends him, he says, you have to make something. You can't be Nanima Oma Zebel Bracha, Darkei Moshe says, but Shahako. Another semi achila. There is an Isser, but it's not a full achila, so you're not going to make the Bracha Mifrat. And the Beis Yosef is disagreeing. We'll get to the Beis Yosef in a moment. The first, let's dig a little further into the Chachmei Ashkenaz. Because how many logical possibilities could there be for what the bracha on a tafel kodem l'ikir is? So, there are 4 logical possibilities. Before we had this whole lundus of shahakal, I would have said 3, but now they have this whole lundus of shahakal being sort of the phantom semi-bracha. So one possibility is right, nothing. Tafel doesn't get bracha. Another possibility is tafel gets the semi-bracha, gets the shahakal. What are the other 2 logical possibilities? Beis Yosef says, well, the ikrim tafel isn't in play because it's tafel, you haven't said the bracha yet, so therefore you make the regular bracha of the tafel. What's the 4th possibility? Bracha nikr. Right? Maybe I should say. In other words, why do I not make shahakal? Why do I not make a shahakal and milk when I have milk with cereal? You could say, because it doesn't need bracha at all. It doesn't need bracha. And we'll think about different varieties of that. Or you could say, it's tuffled to the cereal, and therefore it doesn't need its own bracha. It's tuffled to the cereal, and therefore it became mezonos milk. Maybe it changed identity. And what's interesting, Magen Avraham points out, Magen Avraham attacks the Trumas Hadashen. Remember, the Trumas Hadashen initially said, oh, there's no bracha at all. It's tuffled. They said, can't be no bracha at all. Look, the Maracha was really making shahakal. Oh, that's interesting. Why shahakal? So we were trying to sort of fit that into this flow of various Rishonim seen in different cases. And they often disagree with one another. Dark Moshe himself here does. But it's the same concept. You have to figure out how it applies. With Magen Avraham points out, there's a very slight but very potentially significant difference between the Trumas Hadashen's case and the case that he was quoting from the Maracha Zeruah. And Trumas Hadashen said what? What's Trumas Hadashen's case? I'm going to drink wine. Drinking wine, but I can't drink the wine right away. I have to eat something first. So he said, what bracha do you make? Either nothing or make a shahakal. Where do you get the shahakal from? From the Maracha Zeruah. Earlier Chachmei Ashkenaz, who spoke about eating the good gedanios, these cherries or berries, whatever they are, in advance of drinking mashke, not necessarily wine. So Magen Avraham says, you know why he said you say a shahakov on the good gedanios? The Shulchan Sadeshim thought you say a shahakov on the good gedanios because that's what the bratafel, the semi achila that fits into this whole stream of these, you know, quasi achilas, quasi hanos get a shahakov. But Magen Avraham says, I don't think Shulchan Sadeshim is entitled to his opinion, but I don't think it's fair to drag the Marachos Ruh into it. Rabbi Avraham says, you know why you're making a shahakal on the good gedanios? Because the Marachos Ruh is a ruah? Not because Tafel gets a shahakal, because that's the bracha of the Iker. Because afterwards, the good gedanios are a Tafel to whatever that mashkit. I'm not sure, is that what mashkit is? But he says, who said it's wine? So it's a shahakal. But just like maybe the milk with cereal becomes mizonos milk, okay, so the cherries you're having with your orange juice become, on the assumption that orange juice is a shakal, the cherries also are a shakal. Why are they shakal? Because they take on the identity of the ikar. The Magen Avraham is a little scared about going very far with this, because he's not sure that he can push this beyond the shakal. But at least in principle, that's what he's seeing in the Marach or Zeruah. So, number one, let's organize our ideas in terms of the possibilities and the shitos, and then let's try to understand everything and wrap everything together. So, number one, in terms of the case of Tafel Kodem Le'ikr, this scenario that the Trumas Hadeshin raises, and that the Marachas already raised, and that the Beis Yosef and Darkei Moshe continue to fight about. So there are, in principle, in theory, four possible brachas you would make on the Tafel HaKodem Le'ikr. None, or the semi-bracha shahakal, or whatever the bracha of the Ikr ought to be, becomes the bracha of the Tafel as well. Or, Ikr and Tafel is not in play if the Tafel comes before the Ikr, and therefore you just make the regular bracha on the Tafel food. The first one was the Trumas Hadeshin's Havmina. The second, that there's no bracha whatsoever. Trumas Hadeshin's Maskana is the bracha is shahakal, as we explained, because it's one of these betwixt and between type of situations. You have Mata the Issa, but there's no takana of bracha mefuretas. The Magen and the Trumas Hadeshin thinks that's the Marachor Druas that also. And that is the way the Darkei Moshe understood it. The Magen Avraham himself holds and thinks Marachor Zeruah was saying up, at least in principle, position number three, that the Tafel takes on the bracha of the Iker. And then finally, Beis Yosef clearly says, I reject all of this. The Tafel has its own bracha. So we explain sort of the nuances of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, the Trumas Hadeshin's version, and the Magen Avraham's version within the Marachor Zeruah. I would point out, though, now let's sort of zoom out and realize that there is a larger fundamental machlokas between all the Chachmei Ashkenaz on the one hand, the Trumas Hadeshin with the Darkei Moshe, and then the both versions of Marach Zeruah on the one hand, versus the Beis Yosef on the other hand. Because of Beis Yosef, and the language, Beis Yosef's language, the Darkei Moshe's language, I think make it pretty clear. But the big question is, how do you think about an Iker Tafel? What does it mean that the Birkas Iker, Yemavarach al Iker and Pota the Tefillah? So all the three versions within Chachmei Ashkenaz, Trumas Hadeshin's Havmina, Trumas Hadeshin's Maskana, Magen Avraham's version of the Marachor Zeruah, are all understanding that what's happening in the Iker and Tafel situation, the Tafel's identity is being lost or changed or subsumed to the Iker. Because you're a Tafel, because the milk is Tafel to the cereal, because the kiwi is Tafel to the strawberry, because the cracker is Tafel to the herring, or because the good gedanios are Tafel to the drink, so they're sort of losing their identity or status. Either it's totally like not nachila whatsoever, it doesn't need any bracha, or it's a semi-achila, so it only needs a shahakal, like a chatzishir, a kamus be'echus, okay? Or the marachor, the Magen Avraham's twist, a different type of, not that it's sort of, it becomes batel kishala atzma becomes batel too. Sort of like bitzel, becomes batel to the ikar, and it becomes mezonos milk. It becomes a shahakal cherry, because the drink I'm going to have afterwards is a cherry. If you're tafel to the ikar, you take on its identity. So the machlokas trumas adeshen versus Magen Avraham is sort of how exactly you think about this change in the identity of the tafel. But they both agree that what's happening in ikar and tafel is that the tafel is either losing its identity or switching identity to become that of subsumed under the ikar. The Beis Yosef is rejecting all of this. Beis Yosef is saying, no. The tafel didn't kishel la'atzmo change. It's that the bracha of the ikar can cover the tafel as well. It may or may not be the same as the fact that if I'm eating an apple and an orange and a pear, I only make one of eights and it covers all three. It may not be quite the same as that, but at least derech mashal, I made the bracha, whatever the ikar was. So because this is tafel, it gets covered by the birkas of ikar as well. And that's why the Beis Yosef says, but if there was no bracha on the ikar yet, so then there's nothing to talk about. In other words, it's not that the cheftz of the thing, the identity of the tafel is somehow compromised or lost or shifted. It's just that the bracha is chal on this as well. Like normally, a mezonos wouldn't be chal on milk. Normally, a eitz wouldn't be chal on strawberry. Oh, but if you're a tafel, then the bracha, that bracha of the ikar can expand to cover the tafel also. But if there was no bracha, because you haven't had the wine yet, Beisov says there's nothing to talk about. It's not that the cheftza, the tafel is changing, the identity of the tafel isn't changing. It's just that the birkas of the ikar can expand to cover the tafel too. But there was no birkas of the ikar. That's what Beisov says pretty clearly. I would close just by pointing out, I know we have only a couple moments left, I'll close by pointing out, sort of to expand again what we saw, let's just remember where we have been. And then we'll close by expanding this last idea beyond the world of Birkas Hanen per se. We began just by talking about sort of Birkas Hanen in general, and we saw some interesting things to think about, a thought-provoking opening sugya. Although Birkas Hanen and Rabbanan, but it may be Kaltik Rabban Kain Daraisa taken in terms of the halachic categories as well as of Mitzvah Tluyos Ba'aretz, as well as sort of extending the teleology and the purpose, the time of the Kruah of Mitzvah Tluyos Ba'aretz in terms of the expanding one's sense of the Emunah Yiras Hashem. And we spoke a little about Ikar and Tafel in general as one of the four specific themes that run through the first half and also the second half of the Perek. And the sort of the two levels of Ikar and Tafel in terms of functional Ikar and Tafel versus a mere quantitative Ikar and Tafel. And then specifically, we saw in this unique situation of the Tafel HaKodim LeIkar four theoretical possibilities. We'll find them all in Rishonim and early Achronim. And we saw that while the Trumas HaDeshen's approach specifically reflects this larger idea about the two layers of the Takana Berks Anen and the result, consequent, mysterious appearance of Shahakol often, while the Magen Avraham's take is that there's a relabeling of the Tafel, but fundamentally all the Chachmei Ashkenaz agree that Ikar and Tafel changes, shifts, diminishes the identity of the Tafel per se. Well, the Beis Yosef says the Tafel doesn't per se change, it's just that the Birkas HaIkar surprisingly covers the Tafel as well, but if there was no Birkas HaIkar yet, because Tafel covers the Ikar, then there is, then you need a regular, normal bracha on Tafel, whatever the Tafel is. And I'll just close into that last Chakira by pointing out the following. I think you find both models elsewhere in Halacha. The Rishonim here are debating which one is the relevant scheme for thinking about Ikar and Tafel and brachas. But you do find the Beis Yosef's type of thinking, and you do find the Chachmei Ashkenaz's type of thinking. Very briefly, the language mamash of Ikar and Tafel, almost with the brachas connection, comes up in the beginning of the Bishul Akim Sugya, Slam Chesem Alafin Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says there are certain foods that are Bishul Akim susceptible, the other foods are not Bishul Akim susceptible. Now is not time to get into the details, but the Gemara says it's all very nice if you have a single ingredient food. We're very avant-garde here. But let's say it's not a single ingredient food. You're having the Gemara says some sort of fish casserole, fish kugel, a kasdarsna, some blend of. Sounds like you're frying herring with flour. So the herring itself, because it's already salted, would on its own, if you fried it, would not be, present a bishlakim problem. Flour is inedible raw and therefore does pose a bishlakim problem. What happens if a maichel is a mix of the two? So the Gemara says clearly you got to figure out which is the ikker. If the ikker is the flour, then it's a bishlakim problem. If the ikker is a fish, it's not a bishlakim problem. Ikker and tuffel, what does that mean? It's clearly not that the bracha of one is covering the other. Clearly there, what's happening is almost like a Ruben Kukulo, if you look at the type of the beginning of Sukkah, we need to figure out what's the identity of this overall Michael. I will identify it as a edible raw or inedible raw. I'm going to identify the whole thing by the identity of the Iker. So that's very much aligned with the way the Chachmei Ashkenaz are thinking about Iker and Tafel and Brachas, namely, it's a question of re-identifying, changing the identity of the Tafel because it's Tafel to the Iker. While in Hilchas Mezuzah, you find the opposite. Hilchas Mezuzah, again, to make a long story short, Hilchas Mezuzah, Menachas Lama Gimel, Lama Dal, there's some discussion about, if you have multiple doorways into a room, do you put mezuzahs on all, or only if one of them is used much more than the other? So it may or may not be a steering gemara. Rambam has his own approach, but Rashi says, yeah, and the answer is, Rashi gives some details, depends on the numbers, or depends maybe if it was always, historically, always Ragel and Eina Ragel. But Bekitzer HaMaisa, so let's just dive into one specific detail that is Halach HaMaisa. I have a garage, I have a wine cellar that's built the way many of our garages are built, with a big, big door. It's only used once or twice a year when you bring all the barrels in from the winery. And then you have the little door, little small door from the garage to the hallway or the kitchen where you go in once a week to get a barrel and bring it to the kitchen. So you have this big doorway that's rare, one used annually. You have a little doorway that's used weekly. So this is ragel, that's ainu ragel. You put a mezuzah on the small door, no need for mezuzah on the big door. Okay, that's how you pass the Shulchan Aruch. End of Reish Pei Vav. Then, Rama quotes, based on Beis Yosef B'Shem Maril, but let's say, for some reason, there is no mezuzah on that small doorway. Technical. It's not ten tefachim high, that the doorway doesn't meet one of the technical requirements for mezuzah. Then, then you do have to put mezuzah on the big doorway. Why? What changed? It's still only used annually. It's still a Pesach Sheinu Ragel. Concerning the way the Rama quotes, it sounds like it's an example of the Beis Yosef type of thinking of Iker and Tafel. It's not that the big door has somehow changed. It no longer counts as a door. It's fundamentally Pater. It is still Chayiv. It's just that because it's toppled to that other door, the mezuzah on that door will cover this as well. And therefore, for whatever reason, there is no mezuzah on that door, this one remains chayiv. It's always chayiv, just is usually covered by that one. But if that one doesn't, for whatever reason, have mezuzah, then this one remains in need. So the sugya in Bishalakim is an example of the thinking that the Chachmei Ashkenaz have about the brachas, and the sugya in the mezuzah in Menachas is an example of the thinking that the Beis Yosef has in Brachas. I want to once again thank your Rabbein for the opportunity to come and learn together a little bit. This has been incredible. You are incredibly lucky to learn from these Rabbein, and it would be remiss if I did not mention Miller Shalita, who's it's hard to know which is more impressive, his godless in learning or his extreme Midas Anava, and who really has built and continues to build this hub of our yeshiva in Eretz HaKodesh. Thank you so much. Aslach Rabbah. Just want to add one additional element to the recorded shiur that I had left out during the shiur. In the opening segment, this developed the idea that one of the enduring aspects of the opening Shakal Vataria is that while the Chovas HaGavra to say Birkas Anen in Lamaskana is Midrabanan, but the Ke'en Daraisa on which it is modeled and crafted appears to be Mitzvah Zatulias Baratz. I just want to add that that's certainly one approach, an approach that seems to flow from it's suggested by the opening sugya, and by the categories that Chazal choose for period for brachas. Here's, however, a counterpoint. Another model that seems to emerge is what the Rambam indicates, and that is that it's ma'ke'en d'araisa, not mitzvah tzluis ba'aretz, but ke'en d'araisa of birkas hamazon. Number one, that's the way the Rambam presents in the opening halachas of Perak Aleph, the mitzvah to say d'araisa of birkas hamazon, and he appears to present that birkas hanenin in general are patterned after, or extensions, perhaps, extensions of birkas hamazon. Furthermore, this notion that birkas hanenin in general are offshoots, as it were, of birkas hamazon may explain another curiosity in the way the Rambam organizes Hilchos Brachos. And that is that he talks about Bracha Rishona in two different places. In Perek Gimel of Hilchos Brachos, and then again in Perek Ches of Hilchos Brachos. Perek Gimel of Hilchos Brachos is focused particularly on the Brachos on Machale Dagan. Later on in Perek Ches, he introduces us to Birkas HaPeiros, to Bar Priets and to Bar Pri Adam broadly, and to Shahakal. And it's striking. In between, he discusses Netilas Shadayim and Hilchos Seuda, and only later in Perek Ches, he comes back to round out Birkas HaPeiros. Now, the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch also separate the Kuf Samach discussing what has the status of Pas, Hamotzi, Mizonos, and so forth, and only later, Simin Resh Beis and on, the Tur and Shulchan Aruch turn their attention to Birkas HaPeiros. But it's not as strange that they have that breakdown in Tur and Shulchan Aruch, because the Tur organized at the beginning of Aruch Chaim chronologically by Seder Hayom. So, Halachas of Shachris lead into Kriyas HaTorah and Hilchas Beis HaKnesses, which brings you up until Simon Kuf Nun Dalet, and then Kuf Nun Hey talks about moving, pivoting from Shul to Beis HaMedrash to learn. Kuf Nun Vav, pivoting from Beis HaMedrash to go into work. And then he begins to talk about Halachas of Suda. You're going to sit down later in the morning and eat. So he has a beginning of Kuf Nun Zayin, Halachas of Netil Sedayim, and then in the Kuf Samach, Betzias Sapas, which includes Brach Rishona, goes on to discuss Dvar Hanog and Besuda, and then Birk Samazim, and then Birk Samazim runs through Reish Aleph. So there's a very natural flow in terms of the chronological scheme, Dafka to talk about Pas. And after that, the Tur says explicitly, now that we've discussed it, let's pivot over to discussing brachas and other items, Resh Beis, Resh Gimel, Bar Priets, Bar Pri Adam, and so on and so forth. So the fact that the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch bifurcate between the halachas of Brach Rishona and Dagon versus Birkas HaPeiros, that's understandable because of the chronological scheme. In the Rambam, it's striking and odd that he talks about brachas and Mine Dagon in Perek Gimel, and then only later, after having discussed Netil Sedayim and Dvarav Nogam B'Sol Chasuda, only later in Perek Ches, comes back to round out the other half of Brach Rishon of Birkas HaPeiros. The answer, I believe, is rooted in this alternative approach. So the Rambam understands that the Daraisa model, the Ke'en Daraisa, for the Tekan D'Rabbanan of Brach Rishon is not Mitzvah Tulis Ba'aretz, but rather Birkas HaMazon. And so the halachos of eating lechem, both the halachos of eating lechem in terms of Brach Rishona, as well as the Tehillat Sedayim and so forth, those are more central, those are closer to the core Birkas HaMazon D'Oraisa. And only later, Perek Ches, he discusses the aspects of Brach Rishona that are more loosely connected, namely Birkas HaPeiros. That was just something I wanted to mashlim, the counterpoint to the first element of the Shir above.